Last time on the game Podunkast Z, Jordan and the gang gave their audience a friendly greeting. But what's this? After missing for a while, Marshall Henderson made a daring return. It looks like this bearded warrior is back and ready for action. But that was only the beginning. Just after our heroes gave their hellos, review fiend Marcus Estrada came onto the scene to join the fun. Things just got interesting. Meanwhile, the podcast crew had been playing games. But these fun and games wouldn't last forever as a challenger appeared, the topic of review scores. Our heroes threw their punches and gave their opinions, but the battle only got tougher. Just when things were looking up, Jordan had been caught in a trap and was beaten. With Jordan out of the picture, it's time to finish the fight without him.
But okay, so how, like, would you, since I asked Marcus this question, it's like, Marshall, would you give a game, like, if you had the choice, would you give numbers to a game, like, to score it?
Ideally not. Like, I really would rather not do that. This is, like, the thing I always say, and it's, like, 80% a joke, is if a game company were to come to me and say, we'll pay you this amount of money to give this game a 10 or whatever, that wouldn't really bother me that much. I'd be like, okay. And then my review of the actual game would be like, yeah, this game sucks. It's got all these problems and stuff. 10 out of 10. Money, please. And, you know, that's mostly a joke, but, like, I don't really care that much about the score. I sort of just give it that based on, like, a gut feeling or whatever of, well, okay, this feels about right. You know, this 8 feels okay, so whatever.
I think if I had a choice, at the start, where it's not pinpoint, but it does give you a general idea.
Yeah, basically. Ideally, I wouldn't do that, though.
On the opposite, like, side of, you know, because we're talking about, like, big companies and the prospect of them, you know, paying off reviewers. Like, what makes me feel bad is when I have to give a bad score to a game that I know was developed by, like, 1 or 2 people. Then I feel really bad, but I have to do it. But I feel... it's like, I know, because then I'm going to, like, say, you know, here, look at this review. You know, they probably only have, like, 10 on the whole internet of their game, and one of them is going to be mine, and that's really sad.
I know that. I don't want to say the same game again, but yes, I felt that way about a certain other game. Like, I felt bad. But it's like, I know this game is not good. It's like you kind of, you know, people may have, like, put effort into it. Like, maybe a small staff, maybe they didn't have the resources, but you kind of have to be, you have to be cold at the end. Cold hard facts.
Just like border security.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tying it all back in.
Except for the fact that that game isn't really based on cold hard facts anyways.
What kind of is, if you don't have all the information, I'm not letting you into the border.
Yeah.
Just move on. Without Jordan, I'm falling apart.
All right.
Even then, there is a certain degree of, you know, gut feeling that goes into any of that, though.
Yeah, I think that's the same for most people. Like, it's kind of like, I'm not going to say anything else.
like, I don't know. What does a 7 look like? Like, what is, I don't know. They're numbers, and numbers are, unless you're physically looking at, I've got 10 apples in front of me, you say 10. That's an abstraction, so there's no way you could just do that all willy-nilly or whatever without doing it from the gut.
I don't pay attention to the numbers so much, more like what the number means, what underneath, like, decent, average, or that kind of thing. Like, you can get rid of numbers and just have that at the end, and I'll be like, okay, cool, they thought it was decent.
That's how I just approach game podic ones. It's like, I kind of don't look at the numbers, I just like, how does the word, what does that word mean? Decent. That means, it's at a certain bar of quality, but it's not as good as some other stuff.
Now, to be fair, if you're just doing it on numbers, I'm not an incredibly passionate sort of person, so I'll be like, yeah, you know, I'd give the game you know, 20 out of 10 or something, which you can't do that because that makes the scale arbitrary, but you give a game a 20 out of 10, and I'm like, yeah, that was good. It was pretty good. You should play it.
Sorry.
Yeah. Like Sweet Corn over here, he's got a tendency to be pretty
negative.
Pretty chill about things.
Oh,
yeah.
So he'll be like, yeah, this was a chill game. You know, chill out of 10.
I guess. If Corner were to write reviews, it'd probably be like, yeah, this game's good, and then after the game's released, he'll be like, you know, that game wasn't as good as people said. Like, you're the one who said it!
So when like, have I ever done that?
I know.
Bioshock Infinite, I was always... I mean...
I saw you defending for certain parts, that you're like, yeah, it's good in this part, it's like, and the story's good. And then after, like, a couple months pass, you let it sit, you're like, man, that game, I don't know.
I never defended the gameplay, which is my problem with it.
Yeah.
That's sort of the way that a lot of those things go anyway. Like, when Skyrim came out, you know, the first 2 weeks or whatever after it was out, everyone was like, oh, the best game. This is the second coming of Christ in video game form and everything.
Oh,
I love this so much. This is the Schindler's List of video games or whatever. And then, like, after that 2 weeks ended or whatever, people were like,
Schindler's List never refused to load the textures for me. Every time I've watched that movie, the textures have been there.
Corn, just don't talk. Don't talk about Schindler's List. There's no way this conversation is going to go anywhere that isn't horrible.
Alright.
Okay.
See, like, I hate reviewing games, popular games, I guess. Not to, like, disparage indie games, but you know what I mean? Like, AAA titles. Because if someone's if everyone's saying the games are really good, then I feel like I'm going to look at them even harder than I ever would have otherwise, you know? And have a lesser opinion of them just because I feel like nothing deserves a 10 or something, you know, like that. Then it's like it bothers me and I feel bad. Like, I didn't like Journey that much because it had been beaten to me for like a year that this game is like the most amazing thing in the history of the world. So I couldn't let myself see it like that.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a big problem. Something like Journey, you can't go in with those expectations and still come out
like
and
just,
be really happy
I like
with
to go
it.
In games when no one has said anything.
Yeah. Same here.
It's
like,
your own opinion, like as much as you can, you know, be.
Problem, of course, no is games are expensive and I can't pay them all.
I remember I was about to review Borderlands 2 and I could not do it because I know I wouldn't give that game like an amazing score. Like, I just knew it'd probably because my opinions, I know it's like a good game, but I don't think it's great. It's sort of like, I don't really get addicted to the loot elements. Like, a lot of people are like, loot, it's like, the weapons aren't that, like, varied, I think. And there would be, like, a lot of things I would pick apart at it. Like, I'd be, like, this, like, there isn't many abilities to play with. The gameplay will be very samey throughout. You don't have much to work with. And I know so many people would disagree with me if I were to write that review.
I'd agree with the abilities, definitely. That was quite boring.
Like, just in general, I don't know. Like, I don't really think they change it up, and it's just kind of like the loot thing is the gameplay drive. If it doesn't get to you, it's sort of like a less stellar shooter. I don't know.
My issue with a lot of that sort of thing is, like, if you follow me on the Twitters, at RDAwesome, I do go on a lot of rants and stuff like that about, you know, be more critical, be more analytical, be more whatever. But the fact is, straight up truth, I'm kind of stupid, and I'm really easily tricked. Like, not even a joke. So, a lot of times I'll be like, yeah, this game's whatever, I feel this way about it. And someone's like, hey, what about this thing? And I'm like, yeah,
that thing was
that's
good.
True. That thing was good, wasn't it? And then whenever I think back on it, I'm like, oh god, I'm so dumb. That wasn't good at all.
I feel like that happened with Gunier. Is that correct?
No, I thought that was okay.
Like, I remember like you like says like, should I score it a 6.5 or a 7? I was like, give it a 7 so Alice doesn't hate you. Or I hate like GP, like as a joke. And then I saw a 7, I was like, I hope this really influenced him.
I was you know, I was genuinely on that line, and I was like, I'll go on that end, because honestly, I don't play that many SRPGs, so it was interesting to me, probably a little more than it would be to normal SRPG people, because they're probably very accustomed to I say they, but I mean you, Beryl, specifically.
Yeah. Yep.
Are probably a lot more accustomed to things that I thought were kind of
dull,
interesting, and unique.
Yeah, okay.
There. I was speaking more along the lines of perhaps a game that I was quite excited about, and then it came out, and then I was quite excited about, and the internet was less excited about, but there were theories going around that got into my stupid head, and then I gave it a lot better of a score than it really deserved, and then it should not have gotten a good score. I think that I was massively affected by some of the theories that happened there. And that bio beware. Yay, everyone.
So, alright, we get the point. Mass Effect 3, you gave it a higher score than you probably feel like at the end of the day. Because every time you think about that game, you are less fond of it.
I think I've, ever since finishing it, I've been at the same level.
And the ending does influence. It's like...
That and I just didn't like the removal of choice, basically.
Removal?
Well, there.
But anyway, yes. Right.
There was... They wanted choice in that series and the trilogy and whatever, and it didn't happen.
Well, yep. I mean, isn't it so they can make more, something else, out of that ending? That one ending? Which I don't know about because I haven't played it.
There's
played
like three different endings. I only played one. I was like, yep,
they
that's
are
enough.
Conclusive. They feel conclusive in Mass Effect 3, but they are the same thing, regardless of whatever you took. And even though they are proclaimed to be certain like routes, it's like you didn't have to be any sort of character prior to that to pick like the evil choice. Like you could have been like a good guy. Anyway, that's another whole semantics argument, but Aspect fans have been arguing for ages. And
we don't need to argue over that. My point is that perhaps I was bamboozled. I was hoodwinked. And that some games should not get the score that they got.
I feel like we've exhausted the whole review topic. Like, do you guys feel confident like getting what was set out, or do you want to add anything?
I think we've done most of this. I think the last topic here would be kind of pointless since we've all said we don't really like review scores.
What was it?
What is your favorite type of review score? None of them.
Yeah.
To be fair, out of all of them, the like 1 to 10's best. Like if it goes like 1, 1.5, 2, not the fucking 100-point
like
scale that IGN is doing.
20 or 100 is stupid.
100 is so stupid. IGN, what are you doing?
I secretly like
the three times I've gone to their site, it's like 6.5. No, 6.9, 7.1. I was like, what does this mean?
Nothing.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I think if you're going down to like, you read the review or whatever, and you're like, I'm not really sure what this person feels about this or whatever. I think as assaulted of a site as it is, and deservedly so, Kotaku's having the whole yes. I think that at least makes things pretty clear on how they stand on it.
They're having a what?
Like when they say yes or no.
Oh, I haven't read any review scores in there in like 2 years. I know they changed their thing, but that's all.
Yeah. Well, they're like yes or no. I would not recommend... Well, I'm not going to tell people not to go to Kotaku, but if you don't...
I will.
If you are going for the sake of, I don't know, decency, then don't. But you make your own judgment calls as a person, but I will think you're a bad person if that's something that you do regularly and comfortably.
All right.
I just want to say I don't like the A to F score
like
grading because I think
we don't have that grading scale up here.
Yeah, so, well, I think the school system screwed up with grading too. So
I mean that pretty much embodies like the worst of game reviews. Like what is the like people often associate with like school grading or whatever, and like you are basically confirming that by having A to F.
Yeah.
We get to beat up everyone who gets an A+ in the backyard.
Yes. Yep. I think it's fair to say that the best review scores are Conan O'Brien scores. And that they're arbitrary. And
yeah.
Much
scores,
they don't mean anything.
I'm amused by that concept. Like, yeah. Where he's he just makes up some random sentence. It's like, it sounds positive, but negative, but positive.
Yeah.
And he's like,
and then he just picks a random number?
Yeah, he's like, and I was alright with the game. He's like, okay, thank you, Conan. Although I've only watched two of his videos, so maybe he doesn't do it all the time. But from what I gathered.
Yep.
Right.
Questions? Who cares? I don't know if we have time for that. Do we? One question, maybe? Sure. You know, let's do one, because I think Marcus has an opinion on the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Keith, you ask, how do you guys feel about collector's editions? Waste of money and space, or good memories?
I can't be bothered spending that much.
Waste of money.
Marcus, how do you feel about collector's editions?
Well, I'm not a collector of them, because I know people who collect them, and that's a ton of money, because one comes, at least two or three come out every month. But I don't like them, really, because you never know what's really collectible and what's not. Usually they say collector's edition, they're a zillion, and you'll find them, littered through stores, a year later, because no one wants them.
Yep.
But I mean, if there's a game that I think I like, or I have some interest in, then I might get it, just because, I want these little extra things. Only physical goodies, though. I hate digital anything. I don't care, what's the point of this.
Yep.
And, so it's either way. They can be really great, and I'll buy them, but other times I'm just no. I could care less.
Yeah, I'm usually of the same mindset. It's kind of every time they're a $100 collector's edition with all this, or a $60 one, it's man, I could buy another video game with that $40. Are you guys dumb? I'm always in the mindset of I could get something else in addition.
Yep.
And my biggest problem is I wish I knew I cared about the game before. I wish I knew I was decisive about the game before I played. If I was, then I'd buy collector's edition. If I didn't, then you have this, I spent $30 extra for a game that I kind of liked. I don't know.
Well, if it's a guaranteed buy, and it's got a really awesome thing in the collector's edition, and, it's the price is decent. If they were to say, okay, here, we're selling Metal Gear Solid 5, I'm done, gonna buy that anyway. And also, it's got a functioning Metal Gear, yes, and it's $80, done. All that stuff, I'm in on that. But if it's just you get here, buy this whatever game, and then you get a cute little dolly or something, I don't care about that.
Sometimes it's even after playing the game, though, it's if you really enjoyed it, you're oh man, maybe just having some sort of accessory related to the game, I would have wished I had it, I don't know. It's you build an affinity after the game is released, so it's maybe if you don't think that collector's edition is interesting, you're man, why would I care about a bunch of badges and pins? Play the game, you're oh man, those badges and pins have so much importance in the story. Man, why do I have that collector's edition? I hate myself. It's my favorite game of all time. And then now that collector's edition is $200.
Now, I mean, there was a point where that was very important to me. I may or may not have purchased off of the internet some hand-sewn patches that were the little Kame patches from Dragon Ball Z. I'm not saying I did, but if someone were inclined to do something like that, it might have been me. But, as it is now, I don't really, I don't care about that. I don't really care about sharing the fact that I like something with people that I don't know.
Yeah.
You sound retailers are pretty chill. I'll go in, I'll buy, and they go, hey, we can upgrade you to this special edition for free. And I'll be yeah, sure, why not? Or every now and then when I buy things from 98, they just email, pre-order stuff. And I'm like, I bought this, 4 weeks after it came out. Okay.
Yep.
Well, to be fair, the population of New Zealand is, six people. And
they are desperate to sell any stock they can do.
Yeah.
Please come again. Take the best of the best.
Yep.
But I think we'll get the other questions next week. Unless we No,
Skip Museum Corner.
Well, Marcus is, Marshall's the only one recording, so we kind of have to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Sorry, Corey. But yep. Anyway, that was...
So much planned.
Episode of... I don't know which number.
19?
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, number. Anyway, that's it. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye. See you next week.